testing. One, one, one.
Why do you sound like Count Dracula? When did we turn into a Count Dracula podcast?
One. Okay.
Okay. Welcome, guys. Welcome back to a show about nothing. I'm your host, Aoife.
And Count Dracula.
No, he's not Count Dracula. No,
I'm Tama.
And we are... Oh, I just said it. We are the hosts of a show about nothing.
Yes.
Revisiting.
Revisiting Terrace.
I don't even
house.
Remember what my podcast is called.
Yeah, we have such a complicated name.
So basically, it's a podcast in which we rewatch episodes of Terrace House, aka the best reality TV show to exist in life in this universe, in all parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, it's a Japanese reality TV show
mm-hmm.
where they stick three guys and three girls in a beautiful house with some automobiles, as they say.
Automobiles.
And we just watch their daily life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's exciting.
It's much more satisfying than the American TV shows, the reality.
This
for
is
me, at least.
Debatable.
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of reality TV shows in general, but I can tell you I like Terrace House better.
So anyway, as some of you may know, we're rewatching Boys and Girls in the City, which is the first season available
on
Netflix.
Yes.
And this week is one of those exciting episodes.
Yeah, we are currently on episode 6.
Yes. Which is called All Screwed Up.
Yo.
That's... I mean, I feel like the title exaggerated a little. I don't know if All Screwed Up is like the right kind of, you know, is it a mood?
is it true? Is it the truth? I don't know. Well, we do know because we watched it. But I think it, yeah, considering that, you know, it kind of started off pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
We're 5 episodes in, and then, you know, it was
nothing
just,
has really happened.
Nothing
until
has really
now.
Happened, and
that's
now
why.
It all got screwed up in that sense
yeah.
because it, you know, escalated really quickly.
This was a quality episode.
Yeah.
And so, I guess the premise for this episode is that it's Uchi week. So
yeah.
Uchi is the one of the guys. He's a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Uchihara Tatsuya.
Mm-hmm.
And so in last week's episode, he declared that he would go on a date with each of the three girls. And so
in front of everyone. Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, we see those dates.
Yeah.
Except for the his... third date. So
yeah, of course.
We haven't seen his third date uh-huh. yet. So we only see 2 dates.
Mm-hmm. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
But, yeah. Where do we start? We start with the commentator.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yama-chan, my favorite. He says, it is Uchi week. And then they just recap the previous episode. And Trindle says, like, asks why Mako-chan is so ambiguous about...
Liking Minori. So
Mako-chan
is the baseball player.
Yes.
He's a guy. He plays baseball. He's
mm-hmm.
super tanned.
Mm-hmm.
And Minori is... she's one of the girls. She's a model.
Mm-hmm.
And so... background is they've been hanging out for the past 5 episodes a lot. But then...
They've been running together.
They've been going out to eat together. But mm-hmm. neither of them have told each other they like each other.
Yeah.
And...
5 episodes long. I mean, that's the equivalent of 5 weeks.
It's been a month-ish.
Yeah.
Month and
yeah,
more.
Yeah, five weeks, right?
Yeah.
So that's about right. And suddenly they talk about scary walruses.
Yes.
I
feel like this is unimportant. That's why I didn't like take any notes from the panelists.
Really?
Recap this time.
Hmm. I mean, I didn't... really understand it. I just wrote scary walruses, which is supposed to characterize the girls.
Wait, was the scary walrus about the girls?
I thought it was
about like Uchi or something like that.
No, it was about the girls.
Okay.
Like they rate the girls because you, the oldest commentator,
mm-hmm.
said she doesn't know the difference between a seal was it a walrus, a seal, or sea lion? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. And
a fur seal.
A fur seal.
I don't know what the hell a fur seal is.
I don't think I know any fur seals either. But yeah.
Any fur seals personally?
Personally, yeah. They usually don't hang out with fur.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it is a grading device.
Mm-hmm.
So the scariest person is the walrus. Mm-hmm. And then second is probably the fur seal, I think.
Oh, the fur seal?
Unless you count, you know, the fur seal having fur being cute or something, or cuter than a normal seal.
Cute thing. Like, you know, like those baby seals.
I don't know. I have like this image in my head where they're like a scruffy looking fur, kind of like sheep fur.
Sheep fur?
That's weird. But okay, let's get on with it. Anyways, we cut to the first scene, which is Uchi and Mizuki going on their date, their sports date.
Yeah, so Mizuki is the
barista.
I was gonna say barista, but that's technically not her full-time job, right?
She's
office worker.
Is she more an office worker than a barista, though?
I feel like she's more of an office worker because she said that she works at the company's cafe, like, on the weekends.
Yeah, maybe it's just preference
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their first date. Uchi and Mizuki go to Daiba.
What is Daiba?
I don't actually know.
I thought you mentioned it last episode as a sport.
No. Daiba is like the place, the prefecture or whatever.
The prefecture is not the actual place.
No.
The place where they went to.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she looks so cute. She's wearing like a blue crop tank top. She's wearing a Yankees cap. I don't know anything about baseball, but that's like fashion, right?
I think the fashion escaped me in this entire episode. But yeah.
And then
important stuff.
When they get to Daiba, they first go out to eat lunch, I presume, and they both order ahi poke bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, I know that Uchi wanted so. Mizuki was like, I'm gonna order the ahi poke bowl. And Uchi was like, oh yeah, me too. And I was like, I feel like that was like a faux pas, you know? Why? Like, you guys should have like ordered two different things so that you could like fake share your food and stuff like that, you know? Like, let me taste your food. If you both order ahi poke, you're gonna eat your own bowls. It's not like romantic.
Oh, I guess so. But maybe he was going for the surprise or the... Yeah, annoying factor or something. That's how I felt, at least, about Uchi. Because, like, he's there just to wow. Not just wow, because he isn't impressing anyone, but he is more, you know, shocking. He has now that I think of it, I mean, yeah, it may be...
It may be just that he really wanted to eat ahi Pokemon.
No, because he said, like, he was like, he looked at the menu and then said, I know what I want. And then asked her, what do you want?
Yeah.
And then she said, ahi poke bowl. Yeah. And then he immediately said, ahi poke bowl. And I was like, what is this? Is he trying to either mimic her or like throw her off guard or something?
Mm-hmm. I mean, feel like that was more of like a me too instead of like a...
Mecha me too.
Yeah. Instead of like trying to be like cute.
I don't think he's trying to be cute with any of the girls. That's the thing, though. He's like trying to be like this aloof, cool, mysterious dude who's like getting on your nerves because you don't know anything about him, and that's like his appeal, or at least that's what he tries to be for me, at least. But you're free to debate that. It's not set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they ate,
and I don't remember if they talked about anything significant. I feel like no, because I didn't take any notes on it. But did you take any notes on it?
I just wrote fun date with sports.
And I mean, it was really fun. So afterwards, they went straight to the indoor went, sports activity center or whatever.
What is it called in Japan?
Sportcha.
Sportcha. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. So where they can play.
So I was basketball. Right last week, because last week I was like, Sportcha sounds like something to do with sports, but I'm not sure what it is.
And what does it stand for?
I don't know. Okay. Sports chamber? Sports chamber. I don't know. Sportcha. Sports challenge. Sports challenge.
Probably.
Maybe.
Sounds. Yeah.
And they do, you know, the normal, like, indoor sports stuff. They go do the batting cages, and then they do some amusement park.
Is that what you call it?
Batting cage. Cages. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's what, like, Americans call it on, like, in movies and stuff like that. Well, they're like, I'm going to the batting cage.
Right. It's like the driving range.
Yes. Or like, I've never understood, why is it called a driving range for golf?
Because the clubs you use...
Mm-hmm. Are called drivers?
Yes.
Oh my God, really?
Yep. You don't use a putter, obviously.
Oh, so the type of club, the one with the fat head.
The fattest clubs are called the drivers, because those are the ones you use first. Fun fact, I did used to go golfing with my dad.
Interesting. You sound like an old man.
I am one soon. But that is the truth of it. And drivers are simply the ones that you can use to hit with range.
Yeah, you hit start as far as possible.
As far as possible. And that's the aim of the game on a driving range.
Okay. Yes, this makes sense. Golf intermezzo. I learned something today.
Yeah.
I personally only really like putt-putt golf.
Yeah, that's why you putt.
Yeah. But I was never good at it. But my dad used to take my sister and I to go mini golfing.
Yeah.
Because he knew that we sucked at real golf.
I know. It's a shame that putt-putt golf, you know, they just closed down, right?
Yeah.
Not just, but they simply closed down and did not like...
Yeah, I feel like I don't know any putt-putt golfing places in Jakarta. I would totally go on a putt-putt golf excursion.
Isn't like putt-putt golf the actual brand of it, right?
Yeah, so it's probably called mini golf. Mini golf.
Yes. Not to confuse our listeners, you know. Anyways, I think
let's go back.
Yeah.
So they have fun, you know, it's like, you know, you're being active and shit like that, you know. I personally don't see the appeal of like sports dates.
No, it's fun. I mean, you get to like, you know, physically do stuff together, and that sounds wrong, but
physically do stuff.
I mean, in part, I mean it that way as well, because like you can, you know, make the best of like opportunities to like, you know, brush each other's hands and that kind of shit.
Oh yeah, true.
You know, and there's like a lot of like unnecessarily hitting each other, like kind of playfully.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's totally a great date.
Fun fact about sportchas or whatever. So when I went to university in Japan in Beppu, so my friends and I, we actually went to a sportcha for fun.
And?
But, and it was like in the next city or something like that. But to get the cheapest rates, so the sportcha is like a 24-hour place.
Right? I think
to get the cheapest rates. So we started at the sportcha, starting at like 9 p.m. or something.
Wow.
And we stayed there until like maybe 9 a.m. in the morning. Oh, no, 5 a.m. in the morning. So we like started off with, you know, like all the really active sports. We did like basketball and like the shooting hoops or whatever.
The hoops, right.
And then we did like rollerblading and stuff like that.
It's really open 24/7.
Yeah, and then we ended it with karaoke.
Because there was a karaoke bar as well. Wow. Okay.
There's like a pool area too. Not pool as in like swimming.
Right. Okay. Okay. I thought swimming.
Yeah, no.
Sounds like your version of clubbing, basically. But you know, sober and physical.
But it was like the most tiring I've ever felt in my life. I don't even remember if I had fun or not. I feel like I probably was just so tired.
I mean, I remember going bowling at midnight when I was in high school. And yeah, it's not in Indonesia, obviously, because, well, actually, I don't know whether bowling alleys
are 24/7
open. Yeah, here at least. But I remember back in my days in Germany that, yeah, they were. And it was pretty fun doing something like that, you know, when everyone else is like asleep. You have the whole place to yourself, basically. Yeah. And so, yeah.
That's what we did in our youth. It makes us sound really old, but we're like late 20s, early 30s, so we're not that old, guys.
Yeah.
So afterwards, when they're finally tired, they go eat some crepes.
Oh, Japanese they do?
Crepes are the best.
I didn't even remember that part.
They sat down and they ate crepes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They probably spoke, like, and they talked about something there.
Yes. So they talked about... So Uchi was like, oh, I like girls I can exercise with or something like that, right? Or like I can do sports with. She said, he said undo, which is like exercising. And then she was like, oh, I can do it, but I'm bad at it, you know, which is like cute. It's like she's like willing to try, but she can't, you know.
Yeah, yeah. She's basically like opening up to him and saying, yeah, I'm up for it.
And he insinuated that he enjoyed, really enjoyed the date, and that they would have a next date. And he said that next he will think of the place to go next time. Because going to the sports gym was like Mizuki's idea, because he asked her to choose a place.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was a good way to end it, I think, like by, you know, kind of reciprocating. She also, or he, Uchi... kind of won some points with Mizuki.
I think so too.
It was very fun and like collegial. Well, not really collegial. It was fun. It was a fun day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I had, anyways. Yeah, I think you have more.
No. That was all I had for the date.
I literally only had fun date with sports. So I didn't even remember what they were talking about. But after that, they go to eat dinner with everyone else. Nabe.
Yes, nabe.
What is nabe for those who don't know what
nabe is? Hot pot, basically.
Hot pot. Japanese hot pot.
It is literally one of my favorite foods ever. And I don't eat it enough because Tama here doesn't like soupy things.
Hey, don't try to... What's the word for it? Pigeonhole me.
Soupy things are the best. So anyway, with like...
They're just my least preferred
food
item of food on a list that is like, you know...
So on a list of foods that you do like, that's the one you least like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I treat my food. I like all foods, but they're all on the list. It's just that, yeah, soupy ones are, you know, lower on the list.
And, you know, in Japan, like, and as in, like, any other country, like, eating a hot pot with your friends is a really good communal activity. Because, you know, there's always someone, you know, well, at least when you're doing it at home, there's always someone, like, who has to prep all the ingredients, you know, you prep all the ingredients together, and then you put it in together, you make sure that everyone knows what they're doing. And, you know, it's like, because you guys all have to concentrate on the hot pot, you end up talking to each other, you know.
Is it... Can you call it concentrating, though? I don't think I've ever
Not done concentrating, but as in, like, the food is in the middle, so you have to, like... And the food needs attention. Right?
Paradoxically, you talk to each other and ignore the food.
No. Because I feel... And then, look, with hot pots, right... I feel like because it doesn't instantly, like... what is matang in English? Like...
It doesn't cook.
It doesn't cook through immediately, right? You guys have, like, that 5-minute wait to, like, chat with each other and stuff like that. Whereas if you just have, like, a normal potluck party where everyone brings, like, prep food, you just go straight to the food and you don't talk to each other because you just want to eat.
Well, I mean, that's the same as, you know, waiting at the... microwave, taking turns heating up stuff
it's
at the office.
The same, but yeah, anyway.
I think so. Anyway.
So, first they like ask what's her name? Mizuki and Uchi, how their date went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they both say it was a fun date. They both enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly Makoto changes the subject.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, I've been Googling about Yuki, who is
tap
the last the last guy. He's a tap professional tap dancer,
mm-hmm.
and instructor. And Makoto was like, yo, I Googled Yuki and turns out he's like a 3-time national tap champion. Mm-hmm. Right?
Short intermezzo. I'm wondering if, do you think our listeners would know the people by now, the cast, or do you think we need to
reintroduce them? I think we have to reintroduce them. Like, what if someone's just suddenly decided to listen to episode 6, you know, without listening to our first episodes? Sometimes I do that with other podcasts, you know.
True. So for this one, I don't think it's good we give you listeners the courtesy. Just please listen to all our episodes, and then we'll just keep it short.
You know what? Let's just list all the characters, right?
Yeah.
The cast members.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Uchi, who is the hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
There's Makoto, who is the
baseball player.
And then there's Yuki, who is
aka
Tap, because he's a tap dancer. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys. And the girls are Mizuki. She's an office worker / barista. There's Minori, who's a model. Model and student. And then the third one is Yuriko. She's a medical student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which makes her different.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they talk about... like, Makoto was like, yo, turns out Yuki is so good at tap. And I was thinking the whole time, you guys thought he sucked or something? Like, did you think he was like some amateur?
No, I mean, like, if you go into a house and live with people,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, do all the go through all the niceties, mm-hmm. and the small talk, mm-hmm. and all that, ask what people do for a living, I mean, you kind of gauge them at face value.
Mm.
And, you know, like, oh, Uchi's a hairdresser. Oh, that's for me. Like, yeah, okay, he just cuts people's hair for a living.
Mm.
Doesn't mean he's the best at it or something. He's just, oh, yeah, that's a cool thing to do to you know, earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And Makoto as well, a baseball player. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you play baseball and you're at uni, so you're probably at the... uni team,
mm-hmm.
I suppose, at the club,
mm-hmm.
and so you're not a professional, you're not the best, you know, baseball player in Japan or mm-hmm. something, and so that's, I guess, how I thought of tap when I first saw it. I was like, oh, he tap dances for a living. Okay, I'm sure he's good because we know that he teaches.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he...
But I guess you don't assume that he's the best or
yeah,
whatever.
Or something, yeah.
That's true. You make a good point.
Yeah, so I think Makoto was doing this because they were kind of setting up the next scene, which is actually tap... watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Watching tap dance.
Yes.
Wow! But before that, during that exchange, he kind of got tap embarrassed and all that,
mm-hmm.
and false modesty kind of thing.
Yeah. Humble.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, and then they transition into talking about the fact that Uchi is going to go on a date with Yuriko the next day.
Oh, that's what it means, because I literally only have... Uchi keeps it a secret, and then I forgot what the context was for that, and then
so they just basically transition, and Yuriko was like, oh, where are you taking me? And he's like, secret.
Yeah, that's the exchange.
I mean, that's not how he said it exactly, but that was the gist of it.
Yeah, but it's also kind of a weighty answer as well, because we know from the previous episode that both Uchi and Yuki mm-hmm. are asking, what's her name, Yuriko out on a date, and it turns out to be the same kind of date.
Yeah,
both
so.
Of them
mm-hmm.
are taking her to the
an aquarium
mm-hmm. albeit different aquariums.
Yes.
But
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just was awkward, mm-hmm. or I suppose because they're competing and they pretty much, you know, thought of the same thing. Well, Yuki thought of it because it was...
Because she mentioned it.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I love Inception. It wasn't really Inception if she like said it out loud. She was like, I love going to aquariums on their like drink date or whatever.
Mm-hmm. She just loves aquariums. Yeah. She doesn't love the guy.
Or no, anything. She just wants a guy who can take her to the aquarium.
Yeah.
Sounds like you.
Me? Yeah. What mean?
I know you married me because half of it was because I would take you to aquariums.
Yeah, in Japan. That's true.
That's true. I took him to... No, only one aquarium in
only
Japan?
Only one.
Oh, shit. I thought I took you to two.
You want... You promised to take me to the one in... Okinawa.
Oh, Chura-umi. That's like one of my favorite aquariums.
Because mm-hmm, that's one on my list as well. Because of the huge
whale shark tank.
Yeah.
It's so aesthetic. I mean, the rest of the aquarium is like... not that impressive. The whale shark tank is really where it's at Chura-umi.
Well, I mean, we did go to the aquarium close by.
In Jakarta?
And yeah, we liked that, right?
That's true.
And it wasn't all that impressive. I mean, there were like fake mermaids in there and then...
Yo, fake mermaids are the best. How do they breathe underwater for so long?
They go up every few minutes.
No, but the main... when we watched the show, the main mermaid actress was like there for literally 5 minutes.
Well, maybe she has the best lungs. Breathing. Yeah.
What does it cut to now?
Is it like the panelists? No. The intro.
Okay.
And then after the intro, Mizuki braids Yuki's hair.
Yuriko. braids Yuki's hair?
Oops. Oh, I got them... Mixed confused, up. Yeah. Mixed up, no.
Yeah. So Mizuki does Yuriko's hair for her date with Yuki.
Yeah.
No, with Uchi. Sorry.
Uchi. That's why. Oh, that's why I kind of...
It's a very cute up and down hairstyle. And then Yuriko is so small that she can't even like look in the mirror in the bathroom when she's sitting down.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. It was like... Mm. I mean, it was... Mm.
It wasn't like a cute thing.
No. She's just... I don't know why they would have like the mirror so high up anyway.
Maybe the interior designers of the house didn't think they'd have someone so short in the house.
Or they didn't think people would see it?
That too, maybe. Yeah, probably, right? Because usually when you're in the bathroom, you stand up. And you brush your teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're also... part-time makeup artist, so mm-hmm. you like your mirrors full length, right?
That's true. Full length mirrors are where it's at.
Anyway, Mizuki braids Yuriko's hair, mm-hmm. and then that was it. Yeah, that mm-hmm. part. And then they go to the kitchen, and then Uchi's waiting.
Oh, right? I have to note this. This was mentioned in the last scene.
What's
but
that?
So this is at around 5 p.m. after her classes are over.
Yeah, so they decided to go to the aquarium after
her classes are over,
which is kind of
around 5 p.m. I feel like this is the dumbest plan anyone's ever made.
Well, the thing is that perhaps in other places it's okay, because I think aquariums in the northern hemisphere just close at 9 or something mm-hmm. like that. And so please enlighten us with how Japan works.
Things are closed pretty early, but at least in the city where I went to university, because my city was a small city, and I feel like Enoshima is like right next to Tokyo. Wait, or is Enoshima in Tokyo? I actually don't know. Because Tokyo is like one of the biggest cities in the world, right? It's huge. Anyway, so basically, I wasn't surprised when I heard that this place closes early.
Anyway, before we actually get into what we're talking about, I just want to preface by asking, where do you think Yuriko goes to uni, and why didn't Uchi just pick her up from there?
Because she wants to look nice for her date. Right?
Fair enough.
I mean, she's not ugly.
Yeah.
Like we've
She's
seen her come from her classes before when she went for drinks with Yuki in like episode 2 or 3 or something like that, right? But I think she wanted to like up her game because this was a date, you know.
This was a proper date.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so Uchi's waiting in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and then first of all Mizuki comes in and you know, they have a little banter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in, Yuriko.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have here in my notes, she said, or she heard about the aquarium.
Oh, no, they're in the car.
Is that in the car then? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they're driving.
So it cuts to them in the car.
They're driving on a motorway, on the highway,
mm-hmm.
Towards Enoshima.
And it's jammed.
And it's super jammed, right?
Mm-hmm. At 5
well,
p.m.
Well, I mean, it's not like super jammed. It's not like Jakarta level traffic jammed.
But it's like rush hour.
Rush hour, right? Because it's like, by this time, it's like 5:30, 6 or something like that, right? It must be. Because she says she comes home from school around 5. She got to get her hair done first.
Right.
Which takes 15 minutes at the quickest, right?
Yeah.
And then, so they probably left at like 6, to be honest, from their house. And then she mentions, you know, she's like, oh, I really like aquariums. And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, I heard we're going to an aquarium.
Yeah. Which I think if I were in Uchi's shoes, that would kind of put me off as like, hey, who snitched and all that.
That's
and
true. Then, someone snitched.
Then, yeah. But he was actually okay with it. He played it cool. Didn't like get frustrated that his surprise was, you know,
not a surprise.
Not a surprise anymore.
And so it's trafficy. They're driving and they got to be quick because if we're right, they left around 6 o'clock. This place closes at 8, he says.
Oh, dang. Yeah. So it's quite far, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, minus the traffic, which I really can't imagine what it feels like on how long traffic is in Japan. Because I've never been in one. Because honestly, you just take the trains and the buses and whatnot.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't travel to some places by train.
Yeah, but fair enough. Because they're actually living in a house together and have cars available
also,
to them.
I think one of the reasons why they're given cars is that I don't think that the crew can shoot them in the train.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right?
I thought it was just because, oh, they have like, you know, tourist spots picked out for possible destinations so they can always have like great panorama shots of their, you know, travels and dates or whatnot. And oh yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I guess thought of that just now and I'm like, one, rush hour in Japan is horrible. You've experienced it, right? When we went to
remember.
Japan. Yeah. There was that one time that the trains were so full.
The trains. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about trains. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So like a crew couldn't go in and like
enough, that's true.
And second, I think maybe it's just a hassle for like the editors to like blur everyone's faces.
That's true, right? Because
you have to ask
everyone
permission, right?
Yeah, consent to the
to being on TV.
That's true. Makes sense.
So anyway, they get there finally and it's closed. Yep. As I predicted. I was like, oh, is this the episode? I was talking to Tama while we were watching and I was saying, oh, is this the episode where they go to the aquarium and turns out the aquarium's closed?
Yeah, I didn't even pick that up. Like, I didn't even remember his dates, to be honest. And yeah, the aquarium thing was just like, okay, so did they go to an aquarium? I can't even remember that. And it turns out they didn't.
They didn't go to the aquarium.
So it was failed and he was shocked, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But Yuriko. I
You wrote Yuki?
Yuki.
You really want Yuki and Uchi to get together.
Oh my god, it's like a yaoi fantasy, isn't it? Oh lord. No, not for me. But that is what I mean. Yuriko comforts him.
And she's like, it's fine. We can go next time.
Yeah. You know? Although, if I were Yuriko and I've been, like, hinting people
That I really want to go to an aquarium.
Yeah, that aquariums are basically my favorite hobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I would be bummed.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I would also be bummed. But I think because, like, Yuriko knows that because Uchi planned this date, mm-hmm. she had to be the bigger person and comfort him, even though yeah. she was probably, like, super crushed because she was probably excited that they were going to Enoshima Aquarium.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you placed me in her shoes, then I was like I'll write this guy off. Oh, he failed to get me to an aquarium. Nope.
I'm just wondering, why couldn't they just plan for their date to be on the weekend?
I don't know. I guess he didn't want to, because he wanted to take the girls out on a date in within succession.
A week, yeah.
Like one after the other. Mm-hmm. Like every day it's mm-hmm. a different date. Mm-hmm. And he starts with Mizuki, mm-hmm. and then it's the day after, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Is the failed aquarium mm-hmm. date. And so yeah, it was midweek, I suppose.
Or at least like a day where she doesn't have any classes, you know? Because yeah. we know that Uchi is on summer break, even though I don't understand what that means, because he's already working. What is a summer break for someone who's working?
Is he even like still in school?
No, uni? I don't think so.
No, so he's just working.
Yeah, and then but they're like, yeah, I'm on summer break, and I'm like,
what does that even mean?
I want a summer break. I'm an office worker. Give me a summer break.
Yeah, as long as I get paid for it.
And then, so in the end, they go out drinking.
Yeah, they go to a bar, mm-hmm. and they drink. But Yuri still says she wants to go to an aquarium.
Yuri keeps mentioning, she's like, oh man, I really want to go to an aquarium. And then I don't know if she's doing it like on purpose to make him feel bad, or just because she herself feels really bummed about not going to an aquarium.
Yeah, it's coming out basically, right? After comforting him, making him kind of like feel better about mm-hmm. it. Now it's my turn. Mm-hmm. My ego comes out and mm-hmm. that kind of
and then thing. But then she does mention, like, let's go next time to aquarium, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he said something that I can't remember either. It really is a bad memory episode right now.
It's like, because
I really can't remember anything, or either that or my notes are really unclear to me right now. Because you know what I wrote down?
What?
Suave boy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, let us know, please.
So he mentions, he looks at her and he's like, I've never been out with someone dressed so beautifully.
Oh, yes, that is something that would make me write down suave boy. Totally.
And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I mean, yeah, of course she looks nice. She it's a date and she dressed up for you, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. You gotta hit those points. Come on. On dates, like, there's just some things you gotta check.
I'm trying to think about what my reaction would be if someone said that to me. Or if
you probably punch someone in the arm, honestly.
I'd be like, you don't say.
She just punched me in the arm, by the way.
I'll be like, I know, or I know. That's what I usually say when someone compliments me.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I know. Of course, I know.
Yeah. Tell me something I don't know.
Oh my God.
Anyway, after that exchange...
we cut to the...
There was another exchange about Yuri saying he was either very conscientious about the whole thing.
I didn't take notes about that, but I feel
it was literally the last scene in that scene.
I think she was just mentioning how he seemed like he was the most like considerate out of all the guys.
Right. Conscientious. Why did I write down conscientious?
No, because they
is
said
that the word she used?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I think considerate would be...
Yeah, considerate is a much better word. Who are these Netflix translators?
Oh. Let's not go that route, because I'm a terrible English speaker at this moment. And so yeah, they cut back to the house, mm-hmm. and the boys in the boys' room, right? They mm-hmm. they talk about the date.
Yeah.
And then there was like, I can't remember.
Okay.
Again, I didn't.
So basically, Uchi comes to this like epiphany, mm-hmm. that turns out. He doesn't really like, but he finds it hard to to have a conversation with Yuriko.
Yeah.
I feel like, personally, it's because both people are, like, awkward people. So they're not, like, people mm-hmm. in my head, right?
Okay.
And so it's hard for... Because, you know, to have a good conversation, I feel like you need one person to be... At least one person to be a good conversationalist. Mm-hmm. And the other person can be whatever, right? And they'll just follow. But because both of them are, like, kind of awkward people...
I
feel like continue. He's an awkward person.
Because I think in my head, mm-hmm. like, over the past 5 episodes, mm-hmm. getting to know the character mm-hmm. of Uchi, mm-hmm. I think he has, like, this bratty side of him. Mm. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's mentioned later, mm-hmm. but basically, first of all, he asks all the girls mm-hmm. at once,
yeah.
telling it in front of each other, mm-hmm. You know, that he doesn't flinch at all. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, hey, look, everyone, I'm asking these girls out, mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. They're all mine. I'm greedy like that. I mm-hmm. think at one point he says that actually. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, this guy seems like he's not into bullshit, but then he's doing that himself, mm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So he's bratty in mm-hmm. the sense that, you know, if I'll try these girls out, and if I like them, okay, let's carry on. Mm-hmm. But if not, then he, you know, doesn't think twice to just say, oh, yeah, no, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
Which he says.
He
says,
mentions that he's like, being alone with Yuri is, like, different from what he initially thought, right,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of effort mm-hmm. to, like, keep the conversation going, yeah. not make it awkward. And he mentioned that it was really tense, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he did actually say it was too much effort for him.
Yeah, it
basically.
Was too much effort.
So that for a guy to say that, that sounds very bratty. So that's how I really see it. I mean, I don't know if it was because he was awkward, but sounds to me like he just didn't want to have that in his face at all. It's like, hey, this is I'm trying too hard. I don't want to try too hard. She seemed like nice, I guess, physically speaking, but then, you know, we didn't click, and I'm not amused. That's basically how I saw him.
So you think it's more that he's breathy rather than he just feels like he didn't click with her?
Yeah, because he would also not say that that way to the guys. You know, if like for guys to talk about their dates and all of that, mm-hmm. especially if they're kind of like. In a very small pool of people mm-hmm. to date with, mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of like still guarded and all, and being like suave about it, mm-hmm. and, you know, being coy about things. And but this is like, yeah, this is something that I think he cannot definitely say that to any of the other girls, obviously, for mm-hmm. obvious reasons, but. It really is only something that you'd say among guys.
Yeah. I get it. Okay.
And so, yeah, he said he couldn't keep the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was it, right, for that part.
No. So actually, Tap says, mm-hmm. oh, Yuriko's actually mentioned that Uchi intimidates her.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's true. Mm-hmm. So that was probably why she was hesitant mm-hmm. or, you know, not really at ease mm-hmm. around him. Because he thought, she thought he was, like, scary, I guess, intimidating mm-hmm. in that sense. Yeah. And, yeah, that's a
and
good
that
piece
of
information. Mm-hmm. We cut to the commentators and, like, all of them, like, say that, oh, Uchi is really like a new type. We've never had someone like this on the show before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't know what the previous show was like at this point. And basically, he just goes around and like shocks people, I think.
Mm.
And you can see Yama-chan, one of the commentators, he's like so stressed. And I guess he comes up with this weird, I think... parable comparison is mm-hmm. the word. Like them being Goku and Vegeta from Dragon Ball, which is weird. I didn't get that, but at the point of this whole mini scene with the commentators is that Yuriko
mm-hmm.
is the walrus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I can't remember. How did we get to that? There was like a jump in my notes there. What did I miss? I don't know.
I don't know either. I didn't really take notes.
So you didn't.
The panelists.
You never take notes for the panelists, don't you? Not really,
because I feel like what I've noticed with this mm-hmm. Boys and Girls in the City, which is the earliest one on Netflix, is that I feel like they're not as they become wittier as the seasons go.
That's true.
So I feel like so the current series is opening new doors.
Yeah.
And I think that they are at their peak performance, the panelists.
Fair enough.
Right.
I do think though that they're always trying to move the story forward, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. I do keep their comments in mind.
Yes,
I
suppose.
Because they do kind of like appear in the scenes mm-hmm. in one way or another. Like mm-hmm. their theories are pretty interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people talking smack about other people, honestly.
That's true. I would literally, if someone asked me if someone was like, yo, do you want a job where you can just talk shit about people like on TV, I'd be like, yeah, let me do it.
Oh my god, we sound like horrible people, but no. it's
what the panelists do. They talk shit about these random people living in a house together.
Well, not always shit, but most of it is like,
when I say talking shit, I mean they just like talk about it, you know, they just comment on it,
judge.
Yeah, they judge, that's the word.
Anyway, that was the end of the scene. It was really short, or mm-hmm. I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Taps concert.
Yes.
And it's at Stove, this, I guess, like bar / concert
mm-hmm.
Room. I don't know. Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch, and he just wows them all. He's great at it. He is like the only time thus far where Tap is actually like, oh man, he's cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like before this scene, we've never really seen him. Well, I can't remember if we've seen him actually teach tap dancing.
Yeah, we've seen him teach tap dancing before. Right. Yeah.
But I thought that was like the extent of his knowledge of tap dancing. Mm. But then he actually does like tap solos, mm-hmm. Making songs out of tap dancing, mm-hmm. which is exactly what tap dancing is about.
Mm.
So I'm just saying a lot of nothing. But to add to that, I think he scores some brownie points with girls because, mm-hmm. you know, like shows off his cool side. Not everyone can do like tap dancing this well.
That's true.
Even though he gets all sweaty in the process, but hey, it's
he sweats physical, so much.
But I guess it's physically like
challenging.
Challenging, yeah. Well, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine it really does require like strong heels or something like that. But would you need to have like a whole body fitness kind of routine to keep that up, or can you just like live with oversized legs and feet because of the practice?
I don't actually know, but I feel like, you know, it's like, you know, in Jakarta right now, so mm-hmm. we're having the Asian Games, right?
Yeah.
So Asian Games is like,
shout out to Asian Games.
Shout out to Asian Games 2018.
Watch
yes!
people.
Watch so it on Asian YouTube Games or whatever. Is basically like the Asian version of the Olympics, basically.
Yeah, right? Asian Olympic Games without the Olympics.
Yeah. And then, so you have, like, you know, these random sports. Like, you know, sports that you think doesn't need that much, like, physical exertion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like bowling. But I know for a fact, right, that these bowlers probably, like, have to do fitness training, too, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
On their... Even though when you think of bowling, you don't think of like really fit people.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Fair enough. Like there's always that vibe of, you know the... I can't even remember the name of the movie anymore, but the dude is...
Which one?
please shout out anyone who remembers the name of this. I just can't remember.
What is the movie about?
It's about bowling, okay. And it features the dude.
Who is the dude?
The main character.
Basically. Oh my god! And it's the same with, like, you know, in Asian games they also have like jet ski, and yeah. You're like, does a jet ski need to be fit?
Well, he definitely needs to know how to swim.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Because, like, I know jet skiing is like, it's like an endurance sport, so it's like car racing.
Yep.
Do car racing people go to the gym? Like, do they have to train?
Well, they have to train some. I don't know, actually.
They just have to train how to, like, not pee for, like, 5 hours, right?
Yeah, that's, like, kind of... Oh, I don't know if they have, like, specific training for that specific reason, but...
Not to pee or, like, drink any liquids for 5 hours.
Because you're going so fast. It seems like all these, like, racers are like, party boys. In my eyes, at least.
So no training.
I don't know. They kind of have to, like, network and all, I guess. I don't know. So. I honestly don't know a thing about racing.
Okay, we're on a tangent here.
But I have to kind of, like, bring up the other sport that just pops up in my mind at the Asian Games. Bridge.
No, bridge. No one is doing sports. They're all, like, 80 years old. All these bridge athletes, or whatever you call them.
Bridge athletes. But they're athletes nonetheless,
They're all 8 years old. Technically, they shouldn't be athletes because the European court already ruled that bridge is not a sport. It is a card game.
Yeah, but for certain reasons we won't talk about on this podcast. Yeah, it was eased into the games, basically. And it's... most well-known player just happens to be a very
famous conglomerate.
Yeah. Conglomerate. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, I don't even know. Okay, tap. Terrace House members, they're all impressed.
Yep.
They were like, yeah.
He does like two songs or whatever, yeah, right?
He probably did more, but like.
Yeah, but that's just like the edited version. I wonder if they have like a longer version on the YouTube.
I do not think so.
No?
No. I haven't checked.
Because like, if I remember correctly, it's the only time I was impressed with you. Honestly.
That's true.
Because otherwise he's like so serious with his like topics. Yeah, he's
such a bad personality. I hate it so much.
Yeah, and he like. Kind of ruins everyone's like
life.
Well, not necessarily life, but you know, the dreams, which is even worse, I guess. So that, yeah, that was it. And we cut to the boys' room, and they first start off talking about how they were mesmerized by Tap. Look, we're talking about Mako-chan and Uchi, and Uchi says like, oh yeah, he's actually cool. Like, and like, he didn't say that he was impressed, but yeah, he's a cool guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was possible for him to do something like that. And then suddenly, who comes in? Yuriko comes in to see Uchi. And I just wrote down that she wanted to ask him about the aquarium, but I guess I was missing a bit of context there after this scene. First of all, for me, I think she just comes in and just asks, basically, when are we going to the
aquarium? Going on a date again.
Mm-hmm, going to the aquarium properly this time. Because she does seem like she was disappointed. After Uchi said, it didn't have to be the aquarium if you don't want. I think he even mentions, like, he picks up on her kind of, like, unease and is like, or if you don't want to go out.
Hang out with me.
It doesn't have to be with me. And then that kind of, like, flipped a switch in her, I think. Yeah. After that, she just went silent, basically. She was confused, right? And
she didn't know how to answer. But I guess, to be fair, right, if someone asks you straight up, hey, do you want to hang out with me? You can't really say, no.
Yeah, no, but she came in with a specific, goal to ask when.
Again, yeah.
it got complicated because Mako-chan like kind of butted in by saying like, so what is it gonna be,
girl? And I'm like, Mako-chan, like, this is none of your business.
Even though I think at that moment the guys really didn't know what was happening, and they were like, why can't you decide, why have you suddenly gone silent? And she was just confused and she said, I can't decide, and then she left. And then it was like, what's going through your mind? That's what they talk about. But I think important to note there was how Makoto basically inserted himself into that conversation.
Very important.
Because that flew over my head the first time around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like, I really thought it was like, what's up with her? You know, like, what's going on here? And then it turns out that, it just, we get an explanation in the next scene. But do you want to add to this scene?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We can continue. So the next scene, it cuts to the girls' room. And then we're given this very important piece of information that basically Mako-chan...
Wait, context. Yuriko looked really sad, right?
Yeah.
Yuriko, she looked like she was like about to cry or was crying.
She was alone, first of all. Yeah. And then they set it up that Mizuki came in and then she saw him. And then when she saw her... When she saw her... she started crying or something like that.
Because Mizuki was like, oh, what's wrong, and then Yuriko started crying.
And then it turns out her silence or her unwillingness, it felt like she was unwilling to decide at the time, but turns out that she was basically kind of sad that, you know, Uchi was well, basically, Mako-chan told on Uchi.
Yeah.
Right? He told Yuriko that, you know, what Uchi told him, which was like, hey, I was tense around her and it was awkward. Too much for me and all of that. And he just basically told her. And like, so.
So he said that, but then there was, but then, But then she still went and
I guess she went in to clarify.
Yeah, I think she went to clarify. And then afterwards, right, when she left the room, apparently Mako-chan texted her, right?
Yeah. Before we get to that, because it seems to me that Uchi really didn't get the vibe at all when she first came in. So it was like, to her, knowing what she knows now, and having Uchi behave the way he did kind of like confirmed what
she Mako-chan felt like she was being rejected basically, right?
Yeah, even and though he was probably trying to be like careful about it and saying, oh yeah, okay, let's go to the aquarium and that. He might have felt hesitant, but you know,
but I think he would have gone anyway, you know, to be honest.
Honestly, he owes her that much.
Yeah.
You know, because it literally was like, oh yeah, no, I have to bring you on a date because I didn't. I failed to.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was, you know, just, and he was reacting the way that, you know, he just does. And he doesn't get the context because Yuriko doesn't say that she knows that she's that he's tense around her, and then she tells this to Mizuki and just basically cries it out. And then what happens? Do you have any?
Okay, I feel like she cries more because she's confused, not of Uchi, because I feel like maybe she's like a bit over Uchi, but more about Makoto's actions around her. Because after she left the boys' room, apparently he texted her.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you okay? If you find it hard to talk to Uchi, you can talk to me anytime.
Right.
So even though he was the one who was like, what is your purpose coming into the boys' room?
Yeah. Right? Right. So he was the one who actually kind of put her on the spot.
Yeah.
And then he was the one to kind of try to be the hero about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was set up so good that because Uchi didn't know a thing about what was going on, that he turned out to be like the bad guy. And I think it's fair to say that Yuriko was confused about that.
Yes.
Particularly. Yes. Because it really does actually make Makoto look really manipulated.
Yeah, he looks hella shady.
He is so
and
shady.
And Mizuki, actually. She was like, you know what? Makoto has been, like, I've been unsure about Makoto for recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's been acting shady, you know, Mizuki basically says.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
yeah, she said at one point that she thought that Makoto liked Yuriko.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Even though he was hanging out with Minori a lot.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that is
so
shady.
There was a lot of mixed signals, you know, and you're just like, oh, what is this text?
Yep. And right. Then suddenly she finds out about, you know, Makoto doing this to Yuriko.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And she that just gets on her nerves.
Yeah, defo.
And then we hear the like the very dramatic background music. I can't remember what it was, but it just basically comes back to it cuts back to Mizuki.
Oh shit, yeah. Mizuki is taking no prisoners.
Yep.
She just knocks on the boys' doors and she just goes in without like anyone saying, yeah, you can come in.
Yeah, right? And Makoto was asleep.
And she like
threw a towel.
She threw a towel at him.
I was like, wake up, beach, or something.
Yeah, basically. That's basically what he said.
It was basically an intervention.
Yeah, and like there was some like tense rock music, you know, to set the mood.
Yeah.
I mean, Mizuki is that bitch. She's like protecting Yuriko and shit. She's basically like, hey.
Speaking her mind.
Yeah, Makoto, explain yourself. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're confusing Yuriko, who's like, everyone thinks that Yuriko is like, you know, this like really sweet, innocent person. Because she seems like it. Mm-hmm. So far, she hasn't done anything shady, you know? So so we all think that she's a good, nice person.
Right.
And then Mizuki's like, what are you don't hurt her, like,
yeah,
what are your intentions,
where are you going with this, basically. And so he was like, I think he claimed that, you know, I was just saying what I heard.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I just let it slip, it just slipped. And yeah, I'm like, why would that, you know, slip
why
out
why would
of
you mind? Say that,
yeah,
to her, because that would like
that would make Yuriko feel bad.
Yeah.
And then it makes Uchi into a bad guy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that would and then Mizuki basically said that changes Yuriko's perception of Uchi, even if he felt that way, you know, he has a right to.
Yeah.
But
he wouldn't say it out
but
loud.
But he wouldn't say it out loud to Yuriko.
Yeah, like
she basically says, just be careful with what you say. That's that's her final line to him. She's like,
that's right,
bitch.
Mm-hmm. That was a tense exchange.
That was a super tense exchange.
Yeah.
Mizuki taking no prisoners. She just came into the boys' room. She threw a towel at him to wake him up.
Yeah. And yeah, so he was... Was he sorry?
He was like, I'm sorry. He said he felt bad.
But, you know, damage is done.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, I did not know about the texting thing at all. And when she mentioned it, it was like, wow, that blew my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
And like,
what is he doing? He's
basically, the Makoto saga begins.
Yeah, and
this is one of the, you know, when people talk about Terrace House Boys and Girls in the City, and like they talk about like the epic. Mm-hmm.
Moments, I suppose.
Moments, right? Because they're not just like one scene.
Mm-hmm.
The Makoto saga is one of them.
Yeah.
That you would probably hear like and read online.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Because everyone, if you don't remember, if you don't recall, I think it was the very first episode that the girls did like you know, they asked each other basically, so who made the best first impression, and they all said Makoto.
That's true.
And he seemed like the nice guy, but like he's slowly showing his true self, and that's basically the saga.
Yes.
And we'll just have to find out next week.
Yes. I don't remember how long the saga is, if it's only like two episodes or like
it, you know, it no spoilers at this point, but you know, it does take them to a pretty specific point,
mm-hmm.
you know, where people really just had to think things through over.
You know, it's probably, it was probably a turn, it's like this saga is probably a turning point because it made people realize, oh, we've been living with, you know, five other strangers, what do we really know about them and their personalities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like, so, oh, definitely. Turns out I don't know this person as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, and this theme is actually the one of the ongoing themes, I think, in across all the Terrace House series, because really, it's a show about people living together,
yes.
and how much of that is edited out is just important as what we see.
That's true.
And so you really do ask yourself, like, hey, do I know this person after watching, like, so-and-so many episodes?
So it's very meta. It's like, do the people living in the house know their roomies?
Yeah.
Do the panelists... Because the panelists only see the edited version too, just like us.
Right.
Do the panelists make their judgments, like, are their judgments accurate based on, you know, what they've seen?
Yeah.
And how well do we as the viewers know these people too, right?
And most importantly there, they always preface each episode with the fact that there aren't any scripts. So it just plays out as, you know, it should, I suppose. But... is that even true? We don't know.
That's
how
true.
Much the roommates are actually manipulating their own characters on the show. We
that's
don't
true.
Know that.
We don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just insinuated. Like, Mako-chan is seen like, okay, we know he's a baseball player and we know that he has like he's going through a bit of a rough patch on it and it shows because he's like slacking off. Meaning that we only see him like sleeping and all that.
That's
but that's
true.
It.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
the insinuation. We they never go out and say he's like, you know, he's getting bad grades or getting into fights or, you know, getting into trouble, basically. They just insinuate a lot of things.
That's true.
Yeah. And that was the scene. We cut to the commentators a last time and everyone was confused. Basically, the commentators have they have like two thoughts about this, and one party is thinking that he just might be evil, while the others think maybe he was it was like an honest mistake, an innocent.
They're just like maybe he's just stupid and
maybe
he
just
like
just
ran
dumb.
His tongue or whatever, ran his mouth.
Basically, and we don't know that
in a few episodes,
and it'll be very interesting. And so the last scene of this episode is cutting back to Mako-chan sleeping.
Is that really the last scene? Because I didn't take any notes on the last scene. Then it must have been something so insignificant.
Well, yeah, no, I think that was, because they always cut to, like, a last scene before the Netflix thing comes up, the jajang. And, yeah, so they kind of leave it at that. Yeah, and that was the episode.
That was a good episode, right, guys?
I hope, because it's, like... more than an hour long. We've been talking about this.
I mean, not this episode. I mean, like, the Terrace House
Oops. Honest mistake.
I mean, the show is finally picking up its pace, right?
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Picking
I
up
mean,
momentum.
That, you know, some people might enjoy this. I think the anime equivalent is slice of life. So it's really, like, day-to-day, mundane.
Yeah.
You know, we get to see what people actually do if they're stuffed together under one roof. And, but it, you know, there's a bit of escalation. And I think that's good for the series as well. Because I also enjoy the quiet moments, you know, the how everyone, if everyone gets along, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. They have fun together, like mm-hmm. the sports cha thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun. I mean, it's good fun. It's yeah. not necessarily interesting, I suppose. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to like beat each other at games and all. They're just yeah. literally playing games yeah, together. Yeah, that's yeah. all. And it seemed like a fun date and all that, and that's all good. But mm-hmm. Terrace House is also good for the big dramatic points. Mm-hmm. And that comes up, yeah, as you said, I think it escalates slowly, mm-hmm. but it gets there.
That's true.
And yeah.
And I guess that's it for this week's episode.
Yep.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. See you next week.
See you next week. Don't forget that if you have any comments or insights or critiques,
just
email us at nothingshow.th@gmail.com.
Or
you can follow us on Twitter and, you know, add us at nothingshowth. The TH is capital letters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where you can find us both.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess that's it for now.
Yeah. Let's leave the, you know, the mood as is, like, because that's you know, that is the feeling we come out of it with, is just like dread after this.
Dread. So we'll leave you with a feeling of dread, guys.
Yes.
I hope you enjoy.
Enjoy it for the next week.
For the next week. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.